Welcome to the Naturally Nourished Podcast that delivers cutting-edge food as medicine solutions for optimal health. Ali Miller is a nutrition expert sought out by the media and America's top medical institutes for her revolutionary functional medicine interventions. From disease treatment to prevention, every episode will empower you with ways to put yourself back in control of your health. Please note, the topics discussed are for educational purposes only. Now welcome, Integrative Dietitians Ali Miller and her co-host Becky Yu.
Welcome to episode 390 of the Naturally Nourished Podcast. In this episode, we are talking about five ways to beat the bloat. Bloating is just one of those symptoms that I think is so common and many people just accept it as the norm, right? But we know that it can indicate everything from microbiome imbalance to food sensitivity to digestive enzyme inadequacy and so much more. So today we're going to unpack some of the common drivers of bloat as well as our tried and true solutions. And then we'll talk through a typical day of eating on our Beat the Bloat gut cleanse.
Yes. So this information could not come more timely as the Beat the Bloat live program starts in just 2 days on April 10th. And even if you are listening to this a couple weeks late, we will let you in all the way until the second class, which is on May 1st. Our Beat the Bloat live program is only $99 and includes four live classes, April 10th, May 1st, May 22nd, and June 12th. And these are laid out strategically to support you through our six-week Beat the Bloat cleanse, followed by a microbiome reboot or supporting your microbiome to work for you once you've kind of reset and removed any of the weeds or gut pathogens, parasite, yeast, or anything that is messing with the hustle of your microbiome. We incorporate beyond these four live classes a guide with our comprehensive protocol, the Beat the Bloat ebook, which is valued already at $9.99. And then you have access to our virtual classroom, which includes links to helpful resources such as podcasts, YouTube videos, products, supplement strategy, labs, and so much more. You can rewatch the classes as many times as you'd like during this 3-month access window. And you'll have access to our Slack channel, which is where Becky and I will handhold you for support throughout the cleanse, which can be really important because often when doing a gut cleanse, when you kick up some dust, you might need to troubleshoot and make some unique adjustments. And this is really where that value of just $99 for 3 months of a comprehensive program can absolutely pay off.
Yes, and benefits that we've seen of a successful cleanse from past participants include everything from improved digestion, resolution of bloating, constipation, or diarrhea, clearer skin and resolution of acne, eczema, psoriasis, and more. In fact, the skin testimonials, I think, are kind of they're the most obvious. They're the ones you can
see the window of the gut in terms of
a transformation, right? Improved energy, mood stability, reduced depression and anxiety, you know, connecting that gut-brain access piece. Weight loss, and sometimes that's, you know, just a pleasant side effect of this gut cleanse. Improved quality of life, enhanced immune health, not getting sick all the time, or all of a sudden I'm not picking up the little bugs that, you know, my kids bring home all of the time. Reduced sugar and carbohydrate cravings, cognitive and mental clarity, reduced brain fog, reduced inflammation and joint pain, and support for autoimmune remission. So many things that we can see coming out of this gut cleanse, and really a great thing for everyone to think about doing.
Yes.
You know, at least once a year. And if you've never done one, it's probably a good idea.
Yes. Even if not having symptoms of bacterial imbalance or your bowels seem just right, doing the Beat the Bloat cleanse is a really great way to connect with your gut, to strategically incorporate compounds that support optimal gut microbiome balance, and to learn how to fuel your microbiome with food as medicine for sustainable, beneficial outcomes. So we'd love to have you there. Go on over to AliMillerRD.com, grab your spot under Books and Programs in the live Beat the Bloat class.
All right, before we get into today's content, let's just take a second to talk about our sponsor for this episode, Wild Foods.
Yes, Wild Foods is a company that believes, just like we do, that food can be medicine, but it has to come from real whole foods and from quality sources. So they painstakingly source from small farms around the globe all of their various pantry staples, anything from wild vanilla, which is hand-harvested whole vanilla beans, dried and ground to create a really aromatic powder that is alcohol and carrier-free, so fantastic, antioxidant-rich, good boosting of flavor without any of the yuck. Wild matcha is a powdered green tea, of course, stone ground to get 10 times the amount of L-theanine in there. And their ceremonial grade is a fantastic product. By ingesting that entire matcha teaspoon, you're going to be getting also 10 times the amount of EGCG to support body fat burn and antioxidant boost. And then I can't go without talking about their Cocotropic, which is one of my favorite ways to make a mocha, if you will. It's a wild superfood elixir that incorporates wild cacao with reishi and chaga mushroom extract, along with maca and turmeric. So it's highly anti-inflammatory, neuroprotective, and serves as a nootropic to enhance cognitive focus and function while giving you a boost of antioxidants and those immune modulating or adaptogenic modulating properties of the mushroom compounds. I like to incorporate that with a little bit of cold brew, a scoop of pure collagen, and either some raw milk or some full-fat coconut milk, and it makes quite a lovely sippable mocha. Go on over to wildfoods.co, that's .co, not .com, wildfoods.co. Use the code AllieMillerRD at checkout. You'll get 12% off your order. Check out all of their pantry staples, but definitely don't miss out on the Cocotropics and even their medicinal mushroom blends.
Okay, so let's kick things off with just unpacking some of the drivers of bloating, and then let's talk about the most important or the biggest ones, and then we'll get into solutions. So what are the main drivers of bloating?
All right. So one of the primary that we would see, as we call it with Beat the Bloat Cleanse, is microbiome imbalance or gut bacteria imbalance or potential gut bacterial infection or yeast overgrowth or parasite. We also can see issues like, of course, digestive disorders, especially inflammatory bowel disease, so Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis as markers and indicators. We can see in the world of bowel obstruction dynamic bloating, so based on bowel motility and even in something more simple like constipation being a driving cause. We can see shifts in hormones to drive bloating, especially progesterone and estrogen. Progesterone itself tends to be a diuretic, so we might hold more water or fluid in that lower belly area if we are low progesterone or estrogen dominant. We can even see bloating secondary to adrenal insufficiency or low cortisol status because cortisol itself has steroidal properties and can play a role that's anti-inflammatory. So if you're in a state of chronic fatigue or adrenal insufficiency, that swollen, bloated belly can be an indicator. We can see more influences on electrolyte or fluid. So we can see dehydration or electrolyte imbalance, holding more fluid retention, in the belly area. And then we can see IBS, so especially that constipation, but even looser stool if there's just more inflammation and action in the bowels. And then we can see the world in breakdown of foods. So if we are lacking digestive enzymes, we might have inadequate protein digestion, more fermentation or mechanical stress. We can see also inability to break down sugars or carbohydrates, especially if someone's consuming excessive refined carbs.
Sure. And then food sensitivity, which we'll get into, I think that's a big one to unpack too. So those are kind of the main big buckets, if you will, of what drives bloating. Let's first start with the lack of digestive enzymes, because I think this is such an easy fix and often a game changer for many people.
Yeah, no doubt. So it's important to note that digestive enzymes start in the saliva and they're predominantly produced in the pancreas. And then even some are produced along that small intestine. And our digestive enzymes are remarkably influenced by stress. So we've heard, you know, back in school about that sympathetic nervous system being fight or flight, the parasympathetic nervous system being that rest and digest mode. If someone is in that survival sympathetic nervous system response, they're likely only putting out about a quarter of the amount of digestive enzymes that they would if they were otherwise in that regulatory parasympathetic space. So stress will be the first thing to kind of steal or dilute your enzymes. The second thing that could drive down digestive enzymes would be dilution. So if you're drinking too much during mealtime, then that's going to reduce that solute level by higher hydration status. And that'll mean that maybe you're not going to have as much concentration of digestive enzymes to help to break down the food particles. So don't waterlog your meals. Make sure that you're only taking sips. I generally say about a max of 6 ounces of liquid during your meal. And really to be sipping and really consume those 2 to 3 liters of fluid between meals, ideally separating by about an hour.
Yes. And I think that's like such a simple fix before we even add in supplementation or anything else to do. It's simply moving that water away from food. So your, you know, food isn't just swimming around in a pool of water.
Yep. And, you know, then following that water, the next thing to work on is that stress process. So you could incorporate, for instance, like our 4-7-8 breath. We can link the YouTube channel video there. And we actually even call out in that video, one of the applications of doing 4-7-8 would be pre-meal to kind of get the body to swing back into that safety valve. And that should support a better digestive environment. Because again, when your body's stressed, not only do you have only about a quarter of the enzymes, but also your blood flow shunts out to the appendages. So you don't have as much circulatory flow in the center by your vital organs. And you also won't assimilate or absorb the nutrients as much at mealtime. So harnessing the stress stallion and being mindful at your mealtimes is something you can do as a lifestyle element. In the supplemental world, you might consider then bringing in something like GABA-Calm if dealing with peaks of anxiety or fight or flight surges, or my Calm and Clear as more of a general regulator if you know that you run on adrenaline. Those could be a good fit, but directly the first line of supplement for the bloat based on stress would be our Digest Aid. So our Digest Aid is going to be a supplement that's taken ideally 10 to 15 minutes prior to food. And this could be if dining out, something that you would take right when you order your meal, for instance, not prior to leaving for the restaurant. This is going to provide a comprehensive suite of digestive enzymes that help to break down carbs, proteins, and fats. It also has HCl in there, or hydrochloric acid in there, which is really important. That betaine HCl is going to rev up those digestive juices, help with breaking down of protein. And also we see HCl suppressed. And so the pH of the stomach gets more buffered with stress as well. And this can only be further exacerbated if drinking chlorine in the tap water, you know, so any restaurant likely that's happening. So our Digest Aid has the digestive enzymes along with that HCl. It also has ox bile in there. So for anyone dealing with gallbladder drama, which often constipation or loose stool could be an indicator of gallbladder issue. So getting that ox bile in there is key as well. And then the DPP-4 in our Digest Aid even layers on more support to offset the inflammatory response if exposed to gluten or dairy, because like you said, food sensitivity can be its own factor of that inflammatory bloating response.
Yep. And then I think adding an apple cider vinegar shooter could also be kind of a simple fix. We did an entire YouTube video where we literally do the shooter, but quite simple, where you're just taking a couple tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, combining it with a small amount, you know, a couple ounces of water, shooting that back about 10 to 15 minutes before a meal, to really help to rev those digestive enzymes and aid in bile flow. And I think that's a good way also of like retraining the body if we've kind of lost some of our enzyme capacity. And I would have no issue with you doing that in the morning and then maybe the Digest Aid like later in the day. I don't think we'd be concerned for like too much acidity unless someone has an ulcer, for example.
Sure, sure. And what's nice about the digestate is even if the individual did have the ulcer, then we wouldn't do the ACV, the apple cider vinegar shooter. But the bile in the digestate helps to buffer that acidity. Mm-hmm. So you get kind of that dual impact. And I would call out, because often I get people asking, and we test malabsorption in the stool in our stool tests, and we'll often see a need for enzymes based on the elastase property in the stool. That's an indicator that often we're not getting enough pancreatic production or output, and then especially if we see malabsorbed particles. And so we'll bring in that digestate more frequently, or maybe two at a meal for an individual. And what's important to note is that this revs up your body's production. It doesn't cause dependency. Yeah. So this will actually over time create more freedom while addressing that bloat and ensuring not only are you getting less mechanical churning, cramping, digestive discomfort, and or visible, you know, dislike of the appearance of the bloating, but those enzymes also are helping you to get best bang for your buck with your nutrition because you're absorbing the nutrients at your mealtime.
Yes. And I think that's a really good point. I have a lot of clients who are like, am I going to have to take these enzymes at the same level forever? Because maybe they are someone with, you know, known hypochlorhydria or low stomach acid, or maybe they're coming off of a vegan diet and we're like, okay, we got to retrain your body how to, you know, digest and assimilate protein. And the answer typically is no. Like, we may start you for 3 to 6 months on a higher level and then kind of slowly wean you down to the point where you only need them at your most dense protein meal or when you dine out, as you noted.
And I think we should call out, I think that's a good call out in the world of vegan or vegetarian of like, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. So that's a big area of focus for sure. Same way on the other end of the spectrum, if you were doing more of a carnivore diet and you start incorporating vegetable fibers, if you don't use it, you lose it. So you might have, might not have as many of those carbohydrate enzymes available to break down plant matter. So anytime you're making a dynamic shift with the diet, or again, removing plant matter and going carnivore, you might need more because you need more bile support. So changes in diet would be an indicator beyond stress to need the digestate. And then I would also call out anyone on a PPI. There are so many people taking a form of a PPI nowadays, and they might even be taking it over the counter, not knowing that this is hindering their digestive enzyme production. So these are drugs like Nexium, Protonix, Omeprazole would be a generic. And then even using other buffers, like even like a calcium carbonate and Tums, et cetera, any of these buffers or antacids would be a reason to bring in that digestate. And you can take the digestate while on those to help to slowly support the system. And then that may get you off of those drugs over time by actually resolving the cause of that heartburn or reflux. Because as we've shared in past episodes that we can link, hypochlorhydria or too low of stomach acidity often creates that regurge.
Totally. Okay, let's move on to talking about food sensitivity. And I think it's also important to kind of distinguish here the type of bloating, the timing of the bloating, when it's occurring. Like, what would tell us that it's a food sensitivity versus something like dysbiosis, for example?
So when we're looking at something that fluctuates around mealtime, this is often going to be more of an inflammatory food response or food sensitivity. If it's something that progresses throughout the day and especially is more symptomatic in the evening, we tend to associate that more with a pathogen or a gut bacterial or fungal or parasite infection. Because as we've shared in past episodes, often this dysbiosis form is going to be more nocturnal. And also we'll see that progression with the cadence of the day as opposed to intermittent fluctuation with a food reaction. A food reaction, what's tricky about it, can kind of accumulate. And so there can be upwards of a 72-hour delay of a food sensitivity. But I will say the majority of food sensitivity response will have more of an immediate reaction, which might cause like loose stool, kind of like running to the restroom right after a meal or in the middle of a meal or within an hour of the meal. But as we talk about in our YouTube video on the MRT test, the MRT panel is what we would run to assess an inflammatory food sensitivity reaction. Sometimes we see an accumulation, which can be tricky, and that's where running this panel to get the kind of GPS of the data can help to get true resolution, because maybe having a moderate response to avocado and olive and garlic don't always hit you, but when you make our avocado detox soup and you use copious amounts of them all in one, you get a big gut hit. So maybe you could do a little bit of avocado slice on top of your ground beef, but throughout the day, if we add up, that kind of bucket will spill and then we can get that gut reaction.
Totally. And this is where, yes, the MRT is kind of, you know, the best thing we can do if you're like not able to pinpoint what is driving this distress. It really seems food related, but I can't quite put a finger on it. I would also call out like keeping some form of food journal if you are an individual who's having just this intermittent bloating where it's not all the time, it's not the same every day, to see if you can pinpoint a specific food or even a category of foods. And I think this is where it gets tricky too, between food sensitivity and like a FODMAPs intolerance.
Structure or, function.
Yep. So like looking at, is it like all cruciferous vegetables tend to drive bloating for me? And so maybe it's not just a specific sensitivity to like, you know, broccoli or cauliflower. Maybe it's that they're more dense and fibrous and you either don't have enough enzyme to break that down, or your microbiome is off, and so you don't have enough good bugs to aid in breaking down. And also there might be some bad guys that are kind of playing and causing more fermentation.
No doubt. And, you know, when we're looking at that kind of like structure functional relationship, this is also where things like high fat, you know, could play a role. So someone that has especially maybe some gallbladder stagnation might have loose stool when they eat brisket, let's say, or fattier cuts of protein when dining out at a restaurant. And so these are things that we might want to track with, of course, a food journal to see, is it structure function, or does it seem kind of out of the blue or spontaneous? And that's where maybe it's more of an immune mediated response to that particular antigen, where the immune system is responding just like a high pollen day with inflammation as a cascade in response to that particular food particle. And so running the MRT test could be one approach. I think before we would even get there, I would start with a food journal and I would bring in two of our gut powders. So I would bring in the GI lining support and the GI immune builder. And it would be important to bring in both because the GI lining support is going to help more on a structural level with the L-glutamine at 3,500 milligrams there. We're going to be getting the fuel source for our gut cells. So glutamine actually feeds the enterocytes to aid in replication and repair. So on a cellular level, we're actually going to fuel the epithelial tissue lining to recover if we had leaky gut or ulceration or wear and tear, especially important for anyone with like Crohn's or ulcerative colitis or any indicator of gut inflammation seen by any form of scope. And then it also has the DGL, which has been shown in literature to repair ulcers, diglycerized licorice root, along with aloe. So these two create this mucilaginous oopy-goopy delivery of that L-glutamine to coat, protect, and repair leaky gut. And then the GI immune builder works more mechanistically with the immune surveillance in the gut. So the GI immune builder is going to have serum bovine immunoglobulins. So we have an entire episode out there where we talked about RMA colostrum versus the GI immune builder. We'll link that in the show notes. And the serum bovine immunoglobulins have been shown to enhance the immune system to be less reactive to foods and seasonal allergies or pollens, while supporting more vigilance to combat pathogen or infection. So this is where we can see if there is dysbiosis or gut bacterial imbalance, the GI immune builder can start to work to create optimal balance and support the immune system in getting rid of overgrowth of bad. It can also help with co-infection or dormant infections in the world of like HPV or past mono infection or Lyme's disease. This plays a really good support for the system. And then the GI immune builder also has NAG, which is the N-acetylated glucosamine, which helps on a structural level, aiding in supporting gut tissue resilience. So you're getting both that repair and the GI lining support, the resilience and the structural support while supporting that immunosurveillance with the GI immune builder.
Totally. So if your body is one that is just kind of hyper reactive to everything, it seems you're reacting to, you know, not only foods, but environmental allergens or having some dermatological stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good one to incorporate.
Yes, most definitely.
All right, let's talk about magnesium deficiency. And we alluded to, you know, constipation itself could be a driver of bloating. If you're not having a regular daily bowel movement, there's going to be more kind of bowel mass. There's going to be more, you know, fermentation and whatnot. And over time, that accumulation can just cause kind of that pooch, right?
Yes. And we see that magnesium deficiency, of course, because magnesium plays a role in 300 plus enzyme pathways in the body, it can drive a trend of metabolic disease. It can definitely drive a role of bloating and of constipation. Now, what's concerning is a lot of the magnesium products on the market, especially those that are focused on gut health, are really working with more of a laxative osmotic effect. And so this is forms like magnesium citrate or magnesium oxide, which I think of as like literally like blowing up in the gut. We'll get like spattery bowel movements often with magnesium oxide. So it does break up fecal mass in that mechanism, but it's not going to be very bioavailable to the neuromuscular system or even on a blood cellular level.
Sure.
So I'm still a huge proponent of leaning into magnesium bisglycinate as the best form. You can look at this with our Relax and Regulate supplement. And so we're getting, you know, depending on how many scoops you're using, playing with like 200 to 600 milligrams of magnesium bisglycinate. And then if I'm with someone at that 600 milligram marker, again, neuromuscular support of magnesium through that form in our Relax and Regulate is helping with the peristalsis or the involuntary pumping. So what happens subconsciously to support the digestion and the bowel motility, moving that fecal mass down and out. But then we might, if we've hit that 600 milligram mark or maybe even 800 milligram, at that point we might periodically bring in a magnesium citrate to just kind of loosen up the bowel compaction to retrain. But magnesium bisglycinate is the only one that will be safest for daily use because it's not going to create that bowel dependency like we'll see with the other forms of magnesium.
Totally. I think that's a really good call out. So if we're buying like the over-the-counter Calm or something like that, that is not really going to be supportive over time. In fact, could cause you to need it every single day instead of just kind of intermittent.
No doubt.
And we did a lot of unpacking of this in the Perfecting Your Poop episode on the podcast, which was episode 105. That feels like forever.
Yeah, it does.
Ago.
But the YouTube on
the YouTube's too. More recent.
And the YouTube, we compare Miralax, you know, so a lot of individuals, if they're dealing with constipation, might have used this periodically or maybe are dependent on this daily. And it is prescribed really willy-nilly. It's also over-the-counter, so a lot of people grab it as a way to move that fecal mass. But definitely a lot of concerns as far as bowel dependency, as far as also some psychiatric and neurological unfavorable influences, especially in children. So leaning into the magnesium bisglycinate would be the first supplemental support with our Relax and Regulate. And then using magnesium in the food sources. So leafy greens are fantastic. Nuts and seeds would be a great option. So like an organic sprouted almond butter, dark chocolate, so you could get in that cocoa tropics potentially, or eating like a dark chocolate bar. And I love to do the super greens cube as a delivery form of leafy greens beyond just like eating a salad, because for those that are dealing with digestive bloating, at least the greens cube is kind of pre-digested for you in the blender. And so that does do some of the work, which will reduce some of that mechanical chew breakdown, which can create a little bit more gas and bloat.
Yep. And then in the vein of just bowel regularity, let's talk about probiotics and how they can influence bloat. So good bacteria.
Yeah. So often, just like stress can suppress our digestive enzymes, stress alone can sterilize the microbiome. So definitely a trend here with the stress digestion concerns. And often just adding in a probiotic will do the trick. So probiotics have multiple mechanisms. They can actually aid in breakdown of your foods, so help on the digestive level. And in that turn, they're supporting nutrient absorption as well as nutrient assimilation, producing nutrients along the intestinal tract. We see that probiotics also play a big role in producing compounds that can play a role with our central nervous system. So we know that probiotics, when in a favorable balance in the body, will support serotonin and GABA, or our inhibitory mellowing out compounds for brain chemistry and mood stability. Whereas if we don't have ample probiotics, we don't have that nature's Prozac, and that can perpetuate the stress response. We know that probiotics on an immunological level can enhance natural killer cells, have been shown to have anti-cancerogenic effects, actually fighting tumor activity in the body. And of course, as a competitive inhibitor, probiotics in many forms can actually combat gut pathogen or parasite or yeast overgrowth in the body. So it's kind of that first line defense for sure.
Yes. And specifically the strains found in our Restore Baseline probiotic and targeted strength and Kids Biotic and Rebuild Spectrum, actually. So Lactobacillus acidophilus, NCFM, and Bifidobacterium lactis, BIO7, were tested in a study that I'll link in the show notes versus placebo to reduce symptoms of bloating in patients with functional bowel disorders. And this was published in the Journal of Clinical Gastroenterology. So maybe just adding a probiotic is enough for some individuals.
Yeah. And if dealing with bloating, you know, going for those tested strain ID formulas would probably be the first line of defense before bringing in like wild ferments.
Sure.
So generally we'd recommend probiotic rich foods. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But if you're addressing the bloat, starting with our probiotic challenge would be the first way to go about it. So our probiotic challenge uses that Restore Baseline probiotic, which is a 50-50 blend of those two research-supported strains, and it is free of FOS or inulin, and that's important to call out because a lot of probiotics on the market are trying to combine these prebiotic fibers, and that often can in itself create digestive disturbance. So
totally.
Our probiotic challenge uses just that Restore Baseline probiotic. It's a 15 billion CFU balance of those two strains, and you're going to take your waist measurement circumference at rise and rest. So you're looking at what occurs within that bloating of the belly throughout the day. So is there fermentation that builds up throughout the day? You take three baseline reads without using the probiotic, and then you take one pill for 3 nights, 2 pills for 3 nights, 3 pills for 3 nights, all the way up to 4 pills for 3 nights, hitting 60 billion CFU, 15 times 4. And what we look at is beyond the waist circumference. So first off, as you go up from the Restore Baseline to the targeted strength, which is that 60 billion forming units, does the abdomen flatten? And were you just sterilized and you just needed a boost of good microflora or good gut bacteria to get you back on track? Or was there an atom bomb that went off in the belly? And as you introduced more and more good troops, there was more of a battle environment. What's changed with the bowels? So we actually look at subjectively, descriptor of bowels, frequency of movements, and if you're getting a full emptying, we look at belching, gas, and other digestive cramping or symptoms that are undesirable or improve based on the challenge. And then we look at other dynamic elements of bacterial imbalance. So was there a skin flare? Was there itching that got worse as you worked up, or rashing, or a histamine-like response where you're getting flushed all of a sudden, or body temp changes? Or again, did some of that resolve or reduce as you worked up the process? Was there changes that were remarkable in mood or sleep or cognition? All of this comes together to blend with that objective measurement of the waist circumference. And then we determine if we passed it and we just need a higher dose, that targeted strength, if we passed it and we stayed well with the Restore Baseline, keeping that at one a day, or if we failed the probiotic challenge and we have to go in there and reset the microbiome. And I've been switching my language, Becky, cognizantly, because the plowing of the gut with like all the no-till of regenerative agriculture. Yeah. I'm like, it's not like we're, I'm like, actually, I think that antibiotics plow the gut, to be fair.
Yeah.
And our Beat the Bloat cleanse doesn't plow the microbiome. It strategically
weeds it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to come up with a better analogy.
Yeah. We're going to have to like rethink that whole garden bed analogy. Cause yeah, that's
no true. Tilling in no-till. My microbiome.
No-till gut cleanse. I love and just to be clear on the waist circumference, like what are we looking at there? What would you consider to be within normal limits of variance, and what would you consider to be too much in terms of like the inches?
Yeah, so really any change beyond 2 inches
sure.
is yep. kind of what we see, and it is about correlation in the sense that, again, that's why we do 3 days per shift, if you will. And so if you had like a 1.5 to 2.5 inch variable, but that shifts then to 3 to 4 inch variable, mm-hmm. or that goes down to 3/4 to 1/2 or less right, or variable, less. Yep. then that would be improvement.
Okay, got it. That helps to kind of quantify, because they think there is a little bit of normal fluctuation yes. throughout the day just based on eating and drinking
even
and whatnot.
Fluid. Like yep. we'll change our weight on the yep. scale too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. Now, sometimes probiotics actually make things worse instead of better, as we mentioned with this challenge. And this is often going to be a sign of dysbiosis. And this is going to take us to our fifth way to beat the bloat, is with a Beat the Bloat gut cleanse. A no-till Beat the Bloat yes, gut cleanse
right?
being rebranded.
I know. So our Beat the Bloat gut cleanse provides a blend of now, instead of 4 formulas, we're at 7, right?
At least six.
Formulas.
Yep.
6 formulas come together to give really a broad stroke, if you will, to cover anything that could be driving that dysbiosis. So we have a blend of antimicrobial, antifungal, and antiparasitic tools in the Beat the Bloat bundle. And these work to kill off and eradicate gut infection or overgrowth of imbalance. So whether, again, it was SIBO, whether it was Klebsiella pneumoniae, whether this is Salmonella, foodborne illness, whether this is Candida, you name it, these in combination are going to serve to starve off or kill off overgrowth and also aid in eradicating and removing for good. So beyond the supplementation strategy of those 6 formulas, which we'll unpack maybe back and forth and talk about each of them, we're also looking to literally starve off the bacterial imbalance by keeping carbohydrates at 60 grams total per day, reducing any grains because of the stickiness, adhesive factor of grains, and of course, no added sugars or yeasted foods during this period of time. And then we're looking at an abundance of phyto compounds or plant-based antioxidants that also can support microbiome balance. So we see a lot of literature on curcumin, for instance, and turmeric. We see that green tea is a favorable beverage to sip during a gut cleanse because it's antifungal. It has rich antioxidants and supports the liver detoxification. And so we layer in an abundance of the phyto compound antioxidants while restricting the drivers of fermentation, yeast, and dysbiosis.
Yes. All right, let's go through formula by formula, and then we'll talk a little bit more on just like food as medicine and how to tie it all
an example
together.
Day.
Yes.
Yeah, sounds
yep.
great.
So starting with our berberine boost, which this was in the OG formulation of the Beat the Bloat cleanse bundle as well. This is going to be a combination of Oregon grapefruit and coptis root extract, as well as some traditional Chinese herbs, including ginger, licorice, and skullcap. And so the berberine in there that's derived from the Oregon grapefruit is this bitter, astringent compound that has antimicrobial, antifungal, as well as antiparasitic, mm-hmm. Kind of broad spectrum action. There's also some herbs in there that I mentioned that actually can support detox as well as liver and gallbladder health. Mm-hmm. So aids in, you know, if there is like bile stagnation or gallstone kind of propensity formation, can help with that as well, which can be a driver in and of itself of bloating. And then we also see beneficial blood sugar outcomes. Not
yes.
that that's what we're talking about today, but we've alluded to this on past episodes of how berberine in and of itself can be as effective in lowering blood sugar as the diabetic drug metformin. So you kind of get an added bonus, mm-hmm. I think, with the berberine. And this might be one of the reasons beyond just the weight loss of a couple pounds of unfavorable actual bacteria by weight. We actually might be seeing some of the weight loss during the cleanse attributed to, you know, lowering our blood sugar. Yep.
No doubt. And then what's more is the metformin drug, one of the number one side effects is GI stress, sure. whereas the yep. berberine boost supports favorable bowel motility and actually corrects this microbiome imbalance. So like you said, that's kind of like the bitter alkaloid astringent formula. And when Becky was in Seattle with me back in 2019 for the book tour of Anti-Anxiety Diet cookbook release, we hiked through St. Edward's Forest and I had pulled some Oregon grapefruit and had everyone chew on it. And it's like you like pool saliva. Yes. Pretty immediately. Even by taking our berberine boost tablets, you can definitely taste.
Oh, yeah. If you leave it in your mouth,
just a moment, just to switch a room.
I had a client ask me recently if she could chew them and just because the chalkiness was kind of getting her on the swallow. And I'm like, no, you don't mm-hmm. want to. Don't try it at home. It's doable, mm-hmm. but not optimal to like crush or chew those tablets.
Yes. But also that's what I love about the, you know, more whole food, food sure. as medicine support is you yep. can really taste it in there.
Yes.
So going to the next compound, our herbal immune. Now this is more of a aromatic approach of hitting the bacteria, yeast, or parasite. So these are a concentrate of essential oils and dry herbal extracts in a gel capsule. So this one also has to be swallowed. And it combines a lot of the aromatics in the mint family. So this incorporates our lemon balm, sage, thyme, and oregano. The blend of these compounds are antimicrobial, antifungal, and antiparasitic. But what's really lovely is these essential oils, although they're very fragile, they're quite stabilized in this emulsion of the dry matter with the essential oils. And this creates more of a fat solubility, which can actually penetrate the intestinal mucosal cells to have that really fantastic effect. So I feel like it like penetrates and delivers under the surface is kind of how I think about it. Versus if we're thinking of the analogy of the garden bed, this is like seeping in mm-hmm. to support on those biofilms and those networks of imbalance instead of just like taking a weed whacker to the top of the pathogen, if you will.
Totally. Okay. And I've been loving that one and personally was taking it like in December, January for just some upper respiratory stuff, but also noticed just taking that alone, a reduction in bloating and more GI regularity. And I'm like, ooh, I want to, and less fluid retention too. The yes. lemon balm specifically, I would notice like with my rings and how they fit in the morning that there was just less kind of inflammation swelling.
There's a lot of literature also on sage and lemon balm, actually as well as thyme and oregano, I believe. But sage and lemon balm are the two that I really lean into for uterine health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when we're looking at actually on a cellular level, protecting uterine tissue, if we're looking at like bloating extending into that area, and if potentially the estrobilome is off, or if an individual especially had BV or yeast infections, we're going to get a lot more balance in that space. And that can be a huge slingshot for fertility, the use of the herbal immune during this cleanse.
Yes. And then next up, we combine the ultimate detox formula into this bundle. And this is because during any form of a detox or a cleanse, especially when we're looking to kill off pathogen, right? We can see this release of endotoxins. And so there's more of a burden on our body's detoxification systems during this time. And sometimes this is where we see the whole like Herxheimer reaction situation or where things actually get worse before they get better. Part of that would be attributed to, you know, sluggishness of the liver or just overburden of our body with the toxins that are released from bacteria, yeast, and parasite die-off and kind of the overaccumulation of said toxins.
Yes. In fact, individuals that have elevated liver enzymes or we see other markers of detox issues, we might actually put them through the 10-day detox before going into the Beat the Bloat cleanse. And anytime I work with pediatrics or kiddos on a gut cleanse, which, mind you, you can still join our Beat the Bloat Live program. And if you have a child in the household that you're looking to treat, you might want to buy formulas specifically versus this whole bundle, unless you plan to do it with your child, because again, the herbal immune needs to be swallowed as a large, pretty sizable gel capsule. And then the berberine boost, also maybe not most user-friendly to break down. But this upcoming formulas we're going to share all would work for kiddos. And I often start kiddos with Ultimate Detox for 2 weeks, preloading to support the detoxification because kiddos,
they're smaller.
And they just get hit more with the endotoxin. So often we'll just add that Ultimate Detox into a bite of food, get that rocking for 2 weeks to kind of get the metabolism of the liver activated, get the detox pathways open and happening before we'll start to kind of create the shaking of the tree and more of that endotoxin expression.
Totally. And then next up, another formula that's kind of geared toward making space, if you will, in this, if we're going with garden beds, making space and kind of weeding the garden bed, but also aiding in the reduction of that bacterial die-off and kind of cleanup of those bad guys is the GI Cleanup Probiotic, which is aptly named.
Yes. So the GI Cleanup uses what's called bacteriophages, or compounds that actually eat away, like a macrophage we think of in our white blood cell response. Bacteriophages literally devour infected bacteria or viruses along the GI tract. So they only prey on imbalanced bacteria or viruses, never on human cells. And they especially would be important to bring in for someone that has had a resistant, maybe antibiotic resistance, or has been on multiple courses of antibiotics, to really get deep into these like networks we think of, because the dysbiosis works in collaboration. And so by bringing in these bacteriophages in the GI cleanup, they're like little Pac-Men eating away, creating space. And we also incorporate a little bit of beneficial bacteria or probiotic in this formula as well. And so we're going to start to slowly seed while we're making space to get some competitive inhibition, if you will. And that's in a dairy-free probiotic balance along with those bacteriophages.
Yep. And then the formulas that we have added, I'll start with the GI reset. So previously what we had done is kind of like, okay, at week 3 or 4, if you're not getting a lot of action, or if you're still really symptomatic toward the end of your cleanse, we would lay, or if there's suspicion of parasite, for example, we would have you layer this in. But we just think there's too much compelling research on some of the compounds in this formula to kind of leave it behind. So the GI reset is going to combine Uva ursi, which has a lot of great literature as antiparasitic, antimicrobial, and also has a lot of action in the bladder and uterine space. So if you are someone who is more susceptible to UTIs or bladder infections, for example, this could be a really great formula for you to layer on during your cleanse and or all of the time, or when you're symptomatic. And so the GI reset kind of hits both upper and lower GI to hit everything from SIBO to just, you know, run-of-the-mill dysbiosis to parasite and beyond. It has some caprylic acid in it, which we've used kind of piecemeal before in cleanses just individually in clinic if we're finding we're not getting efficacy. So we figured, why not like throw this into the mix?
Black walnut for antiparasitic.
Yep. And then wormwood or artemisia, which also has really good antiparasitic research and literature.
And so generally this can be used alone with the GI cleanup and the Ultimate Detox for kiddos as an effective cleanse tool. And we would just keep that as like a capsule twice daily and likely not bring in that herbal immune and berberine boost if it's a child generally around like age 8 or under. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of goes based on weight, based on severity of symptom, if we'd layer anything else in. The Nano Silver, which is coming, is also going to be in a child's cleanse because very safe, very effective. So let's go into that one. So the Nano Silver Spray is the sixth add into this bundle. So like Becky said, the GI Reset, we brought that in. It used to be a level up. That actually goes in for only 4 weeks of this 6 weeks. So the GI Reset is one at rise, one midday for weeks 2 to 5. So we get you going first, which is that Berberine Herbal Immune Ultimate Detox GI Cleanup. And then we level up kind of in that arch, if you will, or midpoint of your cleanse to get that additional antiparasitic and antifungal boost. And then the Nano Silver is a form of colloidal silver that uses Silver Soul technology. And this is basically the distribution of particles into the structured water, which ensures that the solution or suspension cannot be dissipated or broken down. Colloidal silver already is proven to be quite safe and not to disperse like that Tin Man syndrome, but Nano Silver Spray takes it even a step further with the advanced technology to disperse those particles and keep them stabilized. What's really lovely is silver is non-toxic. It has broad spectrum effects that can support the immune system. And it also can help the body to maintain a barrier against the intrusion of unwanted organisms. So it can work as kind of a defense and an offense, because our Nano Silver will also ensure that it's antimicrobial, antifungal, it can combat virus, and has been shown to be effective also against parasite. So it has both that defense on supporting the barrier of the individual or the host, while that offensive combating. And what's really lovely is, unlike antibiotics, the Nano Silver is going to target the organisms while sparing the body's beneficial bacteria. So you're not getting that atom bomb or that plow, if you will. You're going to get that strategic selection with the Nano Silver. Really no taste involved in this. This is a really easy one that I use during cold flu viral season with my 7-year-old. Really easy to use for all ages of a gut cleanse, and also very supportive for like H. pylori or somewhere in the upper area of the gastric chamber, as well as even supporting any oral microbiome imbalance, because we'll often see translocation of dysbiotic flora. So you're hitting the gut, but then sometimes that can work upbound, create thrush or other imbalance. And that's where that Nano Silver Spray really hits the mold.
Yes. And like you said, no taste. So really great for kiddos as well. For some reason, Noah is very adverse to me spraying in his mouth. So I'm like, I can just spray it into, you know, your water that I know you're going to consume that entire cup, or into a small amount of water or other fluid.
Or take it on
drinking.
A spoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Because it tastes like water. Mm-hmm. Something about coming after him with a spray bottle. He's not into it.
You just got to let him spray it himself.
Yeah, you're right.
You gotta let him, he can spray in the air first, and then he'll like to do it himself.
Yeah, and then I'll find it like all over my mirror. That's what he does with his hair deep conditioner. He thinks he's cleaning it with, you know, some kind of window cleaner, but it's really hair conditioner.
So the gold standard is like 5 sprays twice daily is how we dose it. And you would want to take the sprays after swallowing your water with your supplements. So ideally you would spray and then like drive your kids to school or drive to work, or take a little moment before you would sip on something to just let the most efficacy from that contact or impact. But yes, I think that that's a great way to let kiddos get involved.
Yes. All right. So let's talk further on just what a gut cleanse diet entails beyond strategic supplementation. First of all, just the restrictions, and then we'll break it into like a typical day.
Okay. So like I said, 60 grams of carbs max. So we're really looking at like 2 carb choices. So either a fruit and a starch, or 2 fruit choices. Technically, 60 grams of carbs would be a total of like 4 starch choices. But remember that there are carbs coming from non-carb specific foods. You're getting carb grams from your non-starchy vegetables, from your nuts and seeds. So choose 1 fruit and 1 starch choice. And of course, if you have intolerance to any of those types of foods, just select what you tolerate best. We would want to remove completely grains and then any refined sugars. But you could do beans if tolerated as a starch choice, or roast sweet potato, roasted carrots, roasted beets, of course. And then we generally recommend berries to start, as they're lowest glycemic, and the antioxidants in berries can further support microbiome diversity.
Yeah. And then during the cleanse, we would restrict any fermented foods, especially in those first like 3 weeks mm-hmm. or so. And this is just so that there's not so much competition between kind of these wild strains that we might find in kombucha or kimchi or fermented vegetables when we're really looking to plow the gut. So this would include, you know, putting away your ferments for a little bit. Mm-hmm. They'll be fine. They'll still be there for you when you get back. But, you know, our kimchi, our sauerkraut, we'd restrict like apple cider vinegar. We'd restrict kombucha, no fermented dairy. So cottage cheese, you know, kefir, yogurt, blue cheese especially, but really all raw aged cheeses are going to be fermented in mm-hmm. some capacity, right? We're always talking about eat your probiotic, you know, rich cheese. So we'd restrict that. And the entire Beat the Bloat cleanse is actually intentionally dairy free. Mm-hmm. So just FYI, this is all already written out for you in our Beat the Bloat ebook that comes with our program. And then I'd also call out, this also means no like wine or beer or other fermented beverages. You're going to do best to really have like little to no alcohol during the cleanse, just because we know alcohol in and of itself can be sterilizing to the microbiome and just kind of adds another element of liver detox mm-hmm. and distress. But if you had a social event and you had like a sparkling water with, you know, a clear liquor and some lime, actually gin is antimicrobial. So doing mm-hmm. like a gin tonic or something could technically be kind of medicinal, sort of, kind of, but really limiting that alcohol.
No doubt. And then any yeasted food, so anything that's rising. So beyond like the champagne and beer, we would avoid, of course, any, even if it's like gluten-free bagel. Mm-hmm. Now that likely probably has some grains that would be out anyway, but just a double hit on no yeasted foods, again, because you're getting that rising expansion. And we really want to starve off that imbalance, not give long-chain carbs and fermentable foods.
Yeah. And then we'd incorporate some intentional therapeutic foods. And again, the Beat the Bloat ebook is going to go like way down in depth of how to incorporate these, as well as show you beautiful recipes of how to do so. But we'd be looking at things like turmeric. We'd be looking at cruciferous veggies, again, per tolerance, to help to upregulate detoxification. And maybe that's more toward the tail end of the cleanse. We'd be looking at alliums, so your onions, your shallots, your leeks, your garlic, green tea, which you mentioned, rooibos tea, really any tea, because the tannins mm-hmm. in tea can be very supportive of microbiome balance. Consuming that 2 to 3 cups of leafy greens daily, getting in your herbs, seasonings, spices, cacao, so that's high antioxidant foods, and then incorporating coconut oil daily. And this mm-hmm. is a recommendation that we have of getting in like 2 tablespoons of coconut oil. So maybe just consumed on a spoon or utilized like in your shake or smoothie could be an easy delivery, because the compounds in coconut oil, the lauric acid and caprylic acid, are actually going to aid in combating yeast overgrowth.
No doubt. Okay. I think we tie it together with a pretty little ribbon in an example 24-hour recall, if you say, and let everyone kind of see how this could lay out. So in the rise time, of course, this whole time, we want to be mindful of stress and trying to support the body in feeling safe for best outcomes. So rise time might be maybe grounding, and during that time doing some coconut oil pulling, where you take about a tablespoon or 2 teaspoons of coconut oil. If it is solid at that time, your mouth, the body temperature in the oral cavity will melt that, and you're literally going to swish or pull it through your periodontal cavity. That's going to drive good circulation in your periodontal tissues. It's also going to support that oral microbiome balance and provide that caprylic acid, monolaurin, and lauric acid into the bloodstream of that area. So this would be kind of swishing that coconut oil. You're going to spit that into a tissue and discard that in the trash, and then doing something to stimulate digestion in the gallbladder and liver. So in the cleanse part of things, we would do maybe warm water with a lemon or our lemon turmeric shooter, which we can link here. And then you might play with, as you get past week 4 or 5 and we're starting to challenge probiotics, doing the apple cider vinegar shooter, as we mentioned earlier, to really stimulate those digestive enzymes.
And then breakfast, we could come in with a green smoothie. So we're kind of easing into our day with like a gentle, you know, easy to digest option. I'll link the keto green smoothie from our YouTube channel, which actually uses coconut milk as a base. You get some of those compounds that we just referenced in the coconut oil to be further antimicrobial. And then it also has a good delivery of leafy greens with the compound sulfoquinivose, which is also going to help with microbiome balance and just be an easy peasy delivery. And then maybe from there, we go into another kind of easy to digest option of our 40 clove of garlic soup. So this is a really potent punch of actual 40 cloves, not in the individual serving, but in the entire recipe. And so that's going to be, you know, great support for antimicrobial. Or you could do just a jar of like fond bone broth and a couple of poached eggs with broccoli sprouts if you wanted something to kind of chew along with your liquid lunch.
That's also where you could throw a thawed out piece of wild cod to poach in the broth if wanting to ramp up protein, which we'd probably suggest. Or could do a piece of like hot smoked salmon on the side to get good omega-3s and also those amino acids for your protein goal.
Yep.
Then for a snack, we could get those flavonoids from cacao in our raw walnut fudge. We'll link the YouTube video for that here. And that has the base of walnuts and coconut oil, so getting great cleanse support through those compounds. And then finishing off with a 6 or more ounce of protein serving plus non-starchy veggies. So maybe like doing a steak with our bacteria battling chimichurri. So this is rich with olive oil, garlic, oregano, thyme, basil, a lot of those antimicrobial and antioxidant rich herbs. And that could top on your steak or also be drizzled on top of roasted peppers and onions or grilled asparagus to add that boost. And then still getting some of those non-starchy vegetables for good fiber to support the bowel motility.
Yes, and we could cap off our day with a cup of our YouGlow Girl tea. We know that the rooibos in particular and the hibiscus actually both can support microbiome balance as well, and just kind of give you a little bit of like a sweet something something at the end of your day if you're looking for a nightcap, if you will. So a really delicious day, does not feel overly restrictive, right, in any way. We're getting a ton of phyto compounds and a lot of really good flavor while you also happen to be on a cleanse.
Yes. So hopefully that gives you a taste of our Beat the Bloat cleanse. We would love for you to join us in our live program, which starts next Wednesday or this Wednesday, excuse me, in just 2 days. Go on over to AllieMillerRD.com under books and programs. Grab a spot in Beat the Bloat Live. We'd love to have you there and to add you to our ever compelling testimonials of how the Beat the Bloat cleanse has dramatically improved health outcomes and supported optimal wellness.
Thank you for listening to the Naturally Nourished podcast. Visit our blog at AllieMillerRD.com for recipes, wellness tips, and food as medicine meal plans. Connect with Allie and Becky at AllieMillerRD on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Until next time, stay nourished and be well.